We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Chicago Bears select.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, presented by The Bear Report. Your number one source for everything Chicago Bears draft news, analysis, scouting reports, and more. Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, making their way to the podium, Andrew Freeman and Usaid Koshal.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, a Chicago Bears draft podcast presented by The Bear Report and Blue Wire Pods. My name is Andrew Freeman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Usaid Koshal. We're recording here on Tuesday, March 19th, as a lot has happened since the last time we recorded. Really excited to get into it today. Before we get into it, how are you doing today, man?
Yeah, I am doing well. I mean, it's been a crazy offseason already for the Bears, but I want to say this past weekend, really from, Thursday all the way till basically Saturday, Sunday, the offseason got even crazier.
Yeah, and we're going to be breaking it all down today. Some big trades that the Bears have made recently, some free agent moves that they've made. And while we are, you know, in draft season in terms of position previews, we're probably going to take a break from that for this episode just because there is so much to talk about with all the moves that the Bears made. I mean, how can we not touch on these things? Because they do have an impact on what the Bears are going to be doing in the draft, obviously. So let's just do a kind of a breakdown of all the moves before we kind of focus on one at a time here. Let's just start off with the fact that the last time we recorded, really the Bears hadn't made a ton of moves in free agency. I mean, they had signed DeAndre Swift on the first day of free agency. They signed Gerald Everett on a two-year deal. I think, you know, they obviously made the move for Ryan Bates at center. You know, signing Kevin Byard at safety. We talked about all those moves a little bit last time, but ever since then, been a lot more active for the Bears. So obviously, they ended up beefing up the center position once more, getting Coleman Shelton from the Rams, who started for them last year. But then we get two huge trades over the weekend. First, the Bears trading a fourth round pick for Keenan Allen from the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, just a huge trade. Keenan Allen going into the final year of his deal. You know, the Chargers, they were up against the cap. They had to make some moves. Keenan Allen not willing to take a pay cut coming off one of his best seasons of his career. So the Bears, they swoop in. They make that move right there. And then on St. Patrick's Day, I believe it was, they finally make the trade that I think a lot of us were waiting for. And that is trading away Justin Fields, only getting a conditional six-round pick in return from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So just on those two trades alone, really a lot to break down here. You say, which one do you want to start with?
I mean, we can start with the Justin Fields trade simply because, if we're going to be honest, I mean, the Fields trade is one where you and I have been really consistent since the Bears kind of clinched the number one overall pick. And we've kind of been saying all offseason, even going back to, I want to say, Thanksgiving around mid-November, let's be honest, where we're like, look, it's over for Justin Fields here in Chicago, whether or not people actually want to hear it. And again, yes, there's a faction of people that were very pro Caleb Williams and in a sense anti Justin Fields. Yes, there was a faction of people that were pro Justin Fields and very anti Caleb Williams. And then there were kind of the group that never really gets talked about, which is people like you and I that were basically like looking at this thing from an objective perspective. If we had to pick between Fields or Caleb Williams, we made arguments for both, but we're going to lean Caleb Williams. That's simply because the Bears knew that this thing was going to happen. They knew that they were going to go ahead and trade Justin Fields at some point. Obviously, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron this offseason, when they've spoken to the media, they never really tipped their hand. And that was simply because if you look at the times that Poles and Eberflus and Shane Waldron spoke to the media, I mean, the Bears didn't have enough of a read on the Justin Fields market to be able to accurately determine, hey, what are we going to do with the quarterback position? And so the reality of it is, it's kind of shocking that they only got a six-round pick. But then again, no team was going to go ahead and trade a significantly high pick for a quarterback that you could argue is basically damaged goods at this point. It's also so key to keep in mind that the Bears, you know, for all the reports that came out in terms of, well, we view this as a Sam Darnold trade and they view this as a scenario where they can get, you know, whatever, I think it was like a second, a third, and a sixth round pick. That was never going to happen. And the reason being is because when these guys like Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater and Baker Mayfield, they were kind of getting traded at a point where the whole notion of, hey, let's trade for a guy that's still on his rookie contract, a quarterback more specifically, let's go and trade him, try to make him basically a retread project. That was when this notion was getting popular. And it's very cyclical. Life changes fast in the NFL. Teams learn that it's not realistic to take a guy that has been damaged goods 3 years in, is not going to go ahead and get it done and expect him to magically break out with a new team and a new system. So the league looked at the Sam Darnolds and the Baker Mayfields of the world. And again, say what you want about Baker. He may be an exception because he just signed a 3-year deal, but Baker did bounce around between Carolina and the Rams and was in a prove it year with Tampa Bay this past season to really solidify the 3-year deal he got. But the point I'm making is that the league learned that you can't take a chance on a guy like that. And the other factor the Bears had going against them was, and I'm going to quote one of the guys that was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, Myles Garrett, who covers the Falcons for Fox Sports Atlanta. The Falcons, we know, were in on Fields. But one of the big things Myles said was, look, if you're a league scout or you're someone in a front office, you're looking at this and you're saying, hey, should I go with the guy that I'm only going to have under contract for 1 to 2 years in Justin Fields? I may have to pay him $25 million as soon as next year. Or do I go with the rookie quarterback that I know I'll have for pennies for the next basically 3 to 4 seasons? And so those are ultimately the reasons why, you know, you knew this move was coming. It was just a matter of when, why the Bears pretty much only got a sixth that can turn into a conditional fourth if he plays 51% of the snaps, which a little bit of a side note here as I end my tangent. The Steelers right now are telling everybody that it's going to be Russell Wilson as a starter. But things change fast, and I would not be surprised to see them actually declare this thing an open competition once camp rolls around.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Steelers, obviously this is not a Steelers podcast, but it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that situation, because we know that, you know, for all of Justin Fields' faults as a player and as a quarterback, you know, one of the things that you can't count on is that the guy, you know, his teammates really gravitate to him. You saw that in the Bears locker room. You saw that, I mean, all the tweets of his teammates in Chicago after he got traded and the news came out, you know, a lot of the Bears players, obviously some Bears fans were not happy about this, but a lot of the Bears players, while I think they understand that it's a business and I think they're going to get over it, not necessarily thrilled that the Bears ended up making the move. Obviously we knew that was going to happen, you know, when the trade was made. You know, Justin Fields is a very likable guy in that locker room, really galvanized that locker room in many ways. And that's going to be a big part of that competition, like you said right there. Whereas Russell Wilson, we've known that there have been, you know, rumors out there, or not even rumors. I mean, it's kind of out there at this point that, you know, a lot of guys in the locker room don't really vibe with Russell Wilson at his stops, both in Seattle and Denver. He's had some issues with coaches and with, you know, fellow players in the locker room. Just not necessarily that he's a bad guy or anything, but just, you know, maybe doesn't galvanize guys. Like a guy like Justin Fields is, and that's going to be big. You know, the Bears, you know, all Justin Fields has to do for the pick to go from a sixth round pick to a fourth round pick in 2025 is that he has to play 51% of the snaps. So basically, if he's the primary starter for most of the year for Pittsburgh, they're going to get a fourth round pick out of it. So in many ways, I mean, that's like the upside of the trade. But like you said, the Bears aren't really getting a ton in this deal right here. And, you know, one of the things that kind of worried me about a Justin Fields trade was this situation happening, because, you know, Ryan Poles, he does have this tendency to be a little bit more patient and to let the market play out a little bit. And look, is this his fault for, you know, him being too patient with the market? Or maybe there wasn't a market and this is all he could get. You know, we'll never really know the full story there. There's a lot of conflicting reports out there. But if I had to guess, based off of just what we heard, is that, like you said, they put that initial asking price out there very high, looking for probably the Sam Darnold trade or some type of, you know, equivalent to the Sam Darnold trade, where it was a second round pick, I think a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick was all that ended up going back to the Jets in that deal. You know, unfortunately for the Bears, Carolina has a quarterback already, so they weren't going to be trading, you know, making a dumb trade, because David Tepper, you know, isn't in the market for a quarterback this year. So ended up not working out for them in that aspect. Worked out for them last year, but not quite this year, obviously. But then you see all these trades going down for all these backup quarterbacks. You know, you see Desmond Ridder get traded for Rondell Moore, right? You see Sam Howell go to the Seahawks for, you know, some pick swaps with, you know, involving a third round pick, a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, all that stuff. You saw even Kenny Pickett got like a pick swap involving a third round pick, you know, with the Eagles, right? And I'm seeing all these trades happen. You see all these backup quarterbacks signing with these other teams. And man, the list of teams that the Bears can trade Justin Fields to is dwindling. And you're like, man, if they're going to get this deal done, they're not going to have a ton of leverage here. And I think that was a big part of this as well, is that, you know, a lot of teams, they obviously viewed Justin Fields as a backup option, not as a starter. So the price was always going to be a lot lower than what Ryan Poles ideally wanted in a trade. And once you see all these trades and deals go down for these guys that maybe teams value equally or maybe a little bit more than Justin Fields, because if you're looking for a backup, you don't necessarily want a guy that you have to, you know, shift your entire offensive philosophy around to fit him in your system, right? And that's what you have to do with Justin, unfortunately. He's a guy that you kind of have to shift your entire game plan, your entire team building philosophy, your offensive philosophy. You have to change it to fit his skill set, because he doesn't do a lot of the things, you know, in the structure of playing quarterback that, you know, typically you ask for from your backup quarterbacks. And is that maybe unfair if that teams are looking at Justin through that lens? I think so. I think Justin Fields is better than a backup quarterback in this league. I think he's a top, you know, 20 to 22 quarterback in the NFL. I think he should be starting for a team next year. And we'll see if that plays out for Pittsburgh. But yeah, unfortunately for the Bears, the NFL just did not view Justin Fields, I think, the way that they thought they were. And I think a lot of Bears fans were obviously going to be shocked by that Justin Fields went for as little as he did. But I mean, you hear rumors all the time that the NFL, just a lot of teams are just not high on Justin Fields in general. And that's even going back to his days at Ohio State when they scouted him coming out of the draft. I mean, there was a reason why he fell to the Bears at 11, right? Even though he had all that pedigree coming out of Ohio State, he had all the success in college, right? You know, there were some warning signs, I guess, that team saw in his film, and that kind of played out in the NFL. So it's kind of like confirmation bias in a way. But, you know, I hope the best for Justin Fields. We can kind of close the door on that chapter, or turn the page on that chapter for the Bears now, and move on to, I guess, you know, the fact that this kind of locks in the Bears now. They're going to be drafting a quarterback, whether it's at, I would assume, at number one overall. And I'm assuming it's going to be Caleb Williams. We can get into that all very soon. But I just want to say, like, I really wish the best for Justin Fields. I think he always, even though I've been very critical of his play, we were all excited for him when he got drafted by the Bears, right? We all wanted him to work. We all wanted him to succeed. He's a very likable guy. He's got a presence about him in the locker room that you can just tell when you're there at practices and in the locker room and talking to some of his teammates, you know. And he got dealt a bad hand here in Chicago, unfortunately. So he's going to go to a situation in Pittsburgh where I think he's going to have a good opportunity to kind of get his career back on track. Honestly, as like someone who's on Bears Twitter daily, I'm just glad that this is over with. We don't have to deal with this anymore, because I can't deal with the Justin Fields cult on my timeline anymore. I'm glad that we can just like move on and have, you know, actual football conversations about, you know, the new quarterback coming in here and all the exciting possibilities that come with that.
And you kind of, you know, said your farewell message there. There's a lot of different things that make up really good teammates. It's just who you are as a person, who you are as a player, what you're willing to do with other teammates and for other teammates, in the words of former Notre Dame coach and former Bears O-line coach Harry Heiston, because I spoke to him a few weeks ago when he was talking here at the Glazer Clinics in Chicago. And one of the big things he said was like, hey, listen, as a teammate, the ultimate teammate is the person that's willing to go the extra mile for other teammates. And I think ultimately, and I know for a fact, just getting a chance to watch Justin up close at Hallis Hall in training camp, OTAs, you know, you talk about who he was after the game too. You talk about how he was, in a sense, the ultimate professional, as well as just the ultimate person to really the guy who would go the extra mile, two or even three, for whoever he needed to in the locker room. So you talk about a lot of the reactions that some of the players had. I mean, all that stuff, there's, in a sense, we tend to forget sometimes, like, these guys are human beings too, and there's genuinely this human element to it, in terms of Jaquan Brisker tweeting, hey, don't talk to me. DJ Moore coming out after the season and saying, hey, I do think that Justin needs to be the starting quarterback, but then also coming back and understanding and saying, hey, business is business. But really, you know, always, Justin was always so professional with whoever he came across, to the point where all I'm going to say is this, is that if you have a family member, friend, or colleague, and you're listening to this podcast right now, but you got someone you know that's a Steelers fan, I mean, go ahead, tell them that they are getting ultimately the ultimate professional when it comes to the quarterback position in Justin Fields, because that's genuinely who he is as a person and as a player.
Yeah, as a person, there's really nothing but good things to say about Justin. We wish him all the best here in the podcast. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how his career progresses. But we obviously have a lot to talk about here, more with the Bears, obviously. Let's get to the other trade that went down, and that was the Keenan Allen trade, you said. You know, this was not one I was expecting, because, you know, all throughout this offseason, you kind of had, you know, plans laid out that the Bears were going to attack the wide receiver position. There were, you know, a lot of wide receivers available this offseason. And, you know, as the days went by, all the options, kind of similar to, you know, the trade destinations for Fields, all the options that you look for the Bears kind of, you know, went away. You got Gabe Davis signing with the Jaguars on day one. You know, Mike Evans returns to the Buccaneers. Calvin Ridley gets a huge deal from Tennessee Titans that I think Ryan Poles wisely did not get in on that market, because that would have been a very steep overpay for a guy like Calvin Ridley. But yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel, he goes to the Bills, you know, Marquise Brown goes to the Chiefs, right? You have all these different moves, all these different wide receivers coming off the market. And you're seeing there with the Bears, they have all this cap space. They're not really spending it. The only two moves they really made are on, you know, DeAndre Swift and Gerald Everett. And as a Bears fan, you're wondering, okay, are they going to make a move at wide receiver? Or are they really going to bank on, you know, getting a guy at number 9 overall? And, you know, that's going to be their move at wide receiver for the offseason. And then I think it was late Friday night, I think it was, but you get the news that the Bears have traded for Keenan Allen for the 4th round pick. And instantly I'm like, whoa, that's exciting right there. That's typically a move that you don't see a Bears front office make. You know, I guess you could say that, like, again, I was nervous going into that trade. Now that the trade has happened, I feel a lot more positive about the Bears offseason and the direction of where this is headed. Obviously, this is something where Ryan Poles, his patience really paid off here, right? And kind of letting the market come to him, you know, conserving that cap space for a reason, because, you know, Keenan Allen, he's going to last year of his deal. He's going to be making $23 million this year. The Bears can afford that because they have built up all this cap space to be able to use on a guy like Keenan Allen. And the Bears now, they have a dynamic duo wide receiver with DJ Moore now and Keenan Allen, and the pair him with a rookie quarterback now. That is just huge for the development of whoever they take. I'm, again, assuming it's Caleb Williams here, but that is a huge development that you have legitimately two number one wide receivers to throw to in the passing game. The downside, obviously, Keenan Allen, 32 years old. Last year of his deal is going to have to get extended. You know, he's battled some injuries over the last, you know, really throughout his career. But I don't know. For the options that were available to Ryan Poles, you said, I thought that this was, you know, I thought this was as good of a move as they could make given the circumstances.
And you really start to look at the circumstances and you begin to say, okay, you knew that this was going to be a much slower year for the wide receiver market anyway. And really just looking at this entire move, I mean, Keenan Allen came out in his press conference and he was pretty much like, hey, listen, they wanted me to take a pay cut. I said, absolutely not. Which in a sense, with a completely new regime in LA at this point, it's kind of disrespectful to ask a guy who's pretty much a franchise legend in Keenan Allen to go ahead and take a pay cut. But just keep something in mind. I mean, the Chargers have, they had a lot of high profile players on the roster. You had Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, who, again, you know, all four of them kind of formed the core along with Justin Herbert. But the reality is that every single one of those guys, all four of them, had to pretty much go ahead and alter their contract just to ensure that the Chargers were kind of in a healthy salary cap spot. Now, the reality is simple, is that the Chargers took Quentin Johnson last year. And this is the reason Keenan Allen was so expendable, is because LA took Quentin Johnson last year in the first round. This is a really good receiver class coming up. They have a top 10 pick, so you know they're going to be right there for neighbors Adunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. And so they looked at it and said, hey, why don't we kind of get another mid-round pick? Let's beef up kind of the draft capital we already have on day three. Let's ship Keenan Allen off, because yes, he's been injured, but he's also found a way to be insanely and incredibly productive. And the reality is that Keenan Allen's coming into a situation where in LA he needed to be the guy, it felt like 100% of the time, right? He needed to kind of be the apex for the Chargers offense, because Mike Williams has dealt with a lot of different injuries over the last couple of years. But here in Chicago, because he has a legitimate wide receiver too, and DJ Moore, that's whatever, 26, 27 years old, he can go ahead and he can kind of just take it easy. You know, obviously he's still going to be a professional and kind of come to work every single day with the team first mindset and do whatever he needs to help this team succeed. But also it's key to keep in mind that this Keenan Allen trade, I mean, the Bears got insane good value on it, and they got perhaps one of the steals of the offseason simply because there's incredibly productive receivers in the NFL. Keenan Allen, in my mind, a top 10 receiver, and there's no way he should have gone for a 4th round pick. But again, it's kind of this like mass roster dump that the Chargers are just currently going through, which is why, you know, they were willing to ship him out for incredibly cheap too. It also helps that in LA, the new GM, is actually a former colleague of Ian Cunningham, dating back to their days in Baltimore. You know, so Joe Horitz is a guy, along with Harbaugh in Baltimore. They kind of have always aligned, I would say Horitz more than anything, in terms of this philosophy that teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs commonly use, which is it, before a guy gets too old and outplays his contract, we're going to ship him off to kind of see what sort of return we can get, if any. And they just so happen to get a fourth round pick, and it worked out perfectly for both sides. And most generic point I'm going to make here is this is the Bears are not going to find a talent. No team is going to find a talent of Keenan Allen's caliber that's going to have the impact that he has in 2024 in the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round.
No, especially in this draft where it is not like it is not the deepest draft this year. And that's kind of the thing that many scouts around the league are saying, is that there's a really steep drop off after you get to like the late third round, early fourth round. The talent in this draft is just not there depth wise. You know, it's a really strong draft at the top, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the first two rounds are just absolutely loaded. That's where you want to have, you know, most of your draft capital in this draft is in those first two rounds. But when you get to day three, like even in most years, even like the likelihood you're going to get a player as good as Keenan Allen, especially in year one, is slim to none. And especially in this year now, like the odds say that you're like Keenan Allen is going to be way more productive than any fourth round pick that you're going to have in that spot for you. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's very good process there. Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting, because what's the one thing we've been like wanting to see from the Bears front office really since, I guess, the last you could say like Emery and his time, you know, his first couple years, you know, trying to build that team around Cutler. But like we've been waiting like almost a decade for our GM to really emphasize building the roster around the quarterback to put him in a chance to succeed. And Ryan Poles is doing it right here, man, because, you know, they beefed up the offensive line over the past couple of drafts. You know, you have your tackle duo set with Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, you know, Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis at guard. You know, assuming that Nate Davis can get back to his Tennessee form is pretty solid. You know, they've upgraded the center position this offseason. You know, the offensive line is pretty solid. You get him a number one wide receiver last year and DJ Moore. You get Keenan Allen this year. You have Cole Kmet on the roster. You have Gerald Everett on the roster. You know, they have some running backs now who can, you know, be threats both in the run game and the pass game. Like, this offense is really set up to help a young quarterback adjust to the NFL. And Keenan Allen especially, and DJ Moore, really, their skill sets are perfect for a young quarterback, because DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, both these guys are two of the best route runners in the game. DJ Moore, he's one of the best yak receivers in the game. He's a guy who's a threat at all three levels. Keenan Allen, you know, he's one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, one of the best route runners, if not the best route runner in the game. Not much of a yak threat, but he's just a very consistent, solid possession receiver. He's going to win contested catches. He doesn't drop a lot of passes. He just knows how to get open, and that's incredibly valuable for a young quarterback who they're adjusting to, you know, NFL windows and what NFL open looks like. If you have two guys that know how to get open and are savvy with their routes and can separate against man-to-man coverage, that makes things incredibly much more easier for, you know, let's just say Caleb Williams here coming in. And what I like about this fit with Caleb Williams is that Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, these are two guys that are really good in the short to intermediate part of the game. And that pairs very well with Caleb Williams, you know, release and, you know, play action ability, you know, when it comes to RPOs, off play action, his ability to get the ball out quick and change arm angles and get the ball in spots where guys can get yards after the catch. Both of these guys are perfect for that. And, you know, once Caleb Williams can kind of adjust to the NFL speed of the game and kind of understand that he doesn't have to play as much hero ball in the NFL, these two are going to do wonders for him, I feel like, especially early on. So the Bears, they're going to have to work out an extension for Keenan Allen. I'm not sure how it's going to look like. I mean, they might have to overpay a little bit just to keep him on the team. But if he's productive, man, like, you're going to take that any day of the week, obviously. They weren't going to get a receiver of his caliber in free agency. And I don't think this necessarily rules out the Bears taking a receiver at 9. What this does tell me, though, is that the Bears weren't confident that there was going to be a receiver there at 9, you know, especially when you look at the top three of, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. I don't think the Bears are confident that one of those three is going to be there for them at 9. So you do this now because this gives you insurance that, you know, if one of those three is not there at 9, we can address another position like edge rusher, which they really need, or another defensive lineman like a Byron Murphy, who would be a good fit in this defense. It gives them the flexibility to trade back because they need to get draft picks. So they could trade back and get additional picks on day 2 of this draft to kind of restock the cupboard, so to speak. So this gives them a bunch of options now in the draft that they didn't really have before, because before they're kind of locked into, you better hope a receiver's there for you at 9. Otherwise you're kind of screwed in terms, not really screwed, but like that really sets back, you know, what you can do on offense to build around your quarterback. Now I think they have a ton of options at 9 that they didn't really have before.
And that 9th overall pick is this complete wild card, simply because you're in a position and you're in a situation where it's so tough to see what is going to happen with that pick and who's going to be there. And I've been dating back to last summer, a proponent of guys like Joe Alt and Olufshanu. Talese Fuega is a name that is continued to kind of rise throughout this draft process, but offensive tackle there just does not seem incredibly likely for the Bears. You start to look at the edge rusher position and you kind of say, okay, well, is there really a true game changer that's worth a top 10 pick? It's a fair question to ask, just because this is an edge rusher class where between Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Leitu Latu, there's a lot of good guys on day 2 and day 3, but that are going to end up being phenomenal rotational guys, by the way. But some of the top names you just look at and you're like, yeah, you're going to be an impactful player, but just how impactful and how game changing. And so this to me really kind of just signals, you know, they may not even go with an edge rusher at 9. They may decide to say, hey, listen, we have the 9th overall pick. There's not a receiver here. There's not an edge rusher here. We need to go ahead and we need to trade down. Let's just say to 17, for example. Jacksonville's a team that may want to move up, try to get another game-changing player on offense. You trade back with Jacksonville, who's picking at 17 and 48, potentially end up getting that second-round pick in return. And then all of a sudden, you, for the Bears, would then have 117, 48, and 75, which is still, by the way, 4 picks, including 2 ones inside the top 100, that would give this team a lot of flexibility. Now, the key here is this. Let's just say it's 17th overall. You do start to notice one of these quarterbacks, like a Bo Nix, like a Michael Penix, they start to slip and some team says, hey, maybe you want to move up for one of these guys. Or maybe there's an offensive tackle that starts to slip and it's, hey, we want to move up for one of these guys. Then the Bears could potentially say, hey, we want to trade back a second time. Let's just say to that like 23, 24 range, get a couple extra thirds and fourths in there. And then all of a sudden, you know, you could potentially end up in a situation where you got 5 picks inside the top 100. So with 9th overall, I mean, you just have to keep, if you're Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, and Matt Eberflus, just keep this completely open mind, because that's a pick that is going to be a lot more expandable than people think. And this isn't even factoring in the way that the Giants have been linked to J.J. McCarthy. You've also got the Falcons, who are not going to, you know, they're not going to take a quarterback. So they're a team to watch as well, in terms of a team that could potentially stack at the wide receiver position and pair Drake London and Kyle Pitts with someone. And then you also have Minnesota, that's now sitting at 11 and 23. That's been rumored to want to move up for a guy like Drake May. So there's, and then you've got the Patriots, who want to trade back as well. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and the Bears could get a pretty decent return at 9th overall.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, a couple of teams that I think could be interested. Like you mentioned, the Jaguars could be interested if they're looking to add, you know, a dynamic piece to that roster. And Trent Baalke is always known for making wacky moves. So, like, why not? If he's offering, sure. You know, I look at even closer to them, like the Denver Broncos, the Raiders. Those are teams that if, let's say, one of the top four quarterbacks does fall to the Bears at number nine, that is an intriguing spot where you could see a trade up. And, you know, Ryan Poles could, you know, have them bargain against each other, right? Because they're two interdivision teams. They're interdivision rivals, right? So they are going, maybe he can get a higher price than normally he would, because there's that quarterback element, there's that divisional element. He can get a haul there, not necessarily a haul, but he could get significant, you know, compensation for trading down to those two teams if a quarterback's available. I look at the New Orleans Saints. You know, Mickey Loomis, he's always looking to be aggressive and trade up in the draft, even if the Saints don't have great draft capital this year. Trust me, they will find a way to trade up at some point in this draft. It's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. They're going to trade up at some point. And, you know, the Saints, one of the needs that they have on the roster is they have a huge need at tackle, because the Trevor Penning pick has not worked out whatsoever. You know, they were banking on that pick working, and their offensive line in general has just been broken down over the last few years. So they might be looking to trade up for a tackle. You know, the Bears can say, hey, maybe we'll swap second. You give us your second round pick, we'll give you our third round pick, give us an extra day three pick as a sweetener. We'll make that deal to move down to 14. You're still going to be in a position to draft one of these edge rushers, I think, or Byron Murphy if he's available. Maybe you pick a wide receiver there as well, like Brian Thomas, if he's available. You know, there's a lot of options that you have right now. And that's one of the reasons why I like this move, is that, again, like I said, it opens up all your options. You don't feel like you have to force a pick, I don't think. Even though, like, edge would make a lot of sense for the Bears to make right now, because they haven't really addressed that position yet. But honestly, I feel like, you know, there's no reason to force an edge pick if it's not there in this draft, because it's not the strongest edge class, in my opinion. We're going to get to that when we get to the preview for that position group. There's some good players in this draft, to be sure, but it's not like a typical year where you have a couple of alphas at the top that you feel like are going to be dominant forces in the league. Not really the case this year. So they could, you know, they could trade down and they have an opportunity to address another position and just go best player available. You know, that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world either, right? So, yeah, definitely a lot of options now that the Bears have. Some exciting just developments with this roster. Really just an ideal spot for a rookie quarterback, which kind of annoys me now that we're getting all this talk about, you know, all the pundits saying that, like, maybe Caleb Williams should, like, force his way out of Chicago now because of the way they did Justin. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? But speaking of Caleb Williams, he has his pro day tomorrow for USC, and probably by the time that this episode is out there. But, you know, it sounds like Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, really a large contingent of the Bears front office and ownership, is going to be there at the pro day, presumably to meet with Caleb, to watch him work out, and to set up a private meeting to get him to Hallis Hall as well. That's kind of, you know, what's the assumption right now. You know, what do you make of Caleb Williams in his pro day? What are you looking to see from him, if anything at all? And what do you make of, you know, the Bears sending all that they are sending to go meet with him?
Well, there was this picture, and I don't know if people saw it, because it was just floating across my Twitter timeline. It was Monday night. So we're recording this on Tuesday the 19th. Monday would have been March 18th. Wednesday, March 20th is Caleb Williams Pro Day. So by the time you're listening to this, Caleb Williams Pro Day will have already happened. But the picture was of Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles at O'Hare. And they had apparently been spotted traveling to the USC Pro Day. Now, where they were going first does not matter, but it's anyways, they're Eberflus and Poles were at O'Hare, so you assume that they're going to go to USC first, because last week they were in Oregon and Oregon State for those two pro days. But you know what I'm specifically looking for is this is it's tough to sit here and to put a lot of stock into what really goes on when it comes to these pro days. And that's simply because, again, you got a guy in t-shirt and shorts, right? And not even wearing a helmet. And so that effectively kind of just shows you is that you're really just getting an idea of who the prospect is as a legitimate person. You're getting an idea of who he is as a player too, in terms of how he interacts with his teammates. The pro day is really good for quarterbacks because it does kind of give you a up close and front row seat to stuff such as the intangibles you don't really talk about on film, right? Or on Sunday afternoons when guys are playing. And that's all this stuff like arm placement, you know, ball placement to where a guy may be compared, where a guy's placing, you know, his arm when he is letting the ball come out, the velocity, whether or not the ball really zips out. You're looking at, you know, where he's willing to place the football exactly relative to the type of wide receiver that he's throwing to. So I believe Brendan Rice is going to be at the USC Pro Day tomorrow too. Jerry Rice's son, by the way. And then, you know, another big thing you're looking for is just understanding when you do eventually get to talk to the coaches as well as some of the other school personnel is who the prospect is essentially as a person, who he is, you know, in the weight room, in the film room. What is he like outside of football? What's he like, you know, when he's not on the field? Just kind of getting comfortable with all that. And by the way, I should mention this too. I mean, it's been reported that the Bears tomorrow are gonna get a chance to sit down extensively with Caleb Williams. I mean, tomorrow's the first time that they're probably going to get access to his medical records, which if you remember from about a month ago, the scouting combine, he's like, look, I'm only sharing my medicals with teams that are actually going to meet with me and have a legit chance with me. So it's basically this extensive information gathering opportunity for the Bears.
Yeah, in terms of the on-field stuff, like you said, there really isn't much to take away, I think. You're not really going to these pro days for the on-field stuff, right? Because all you care about is the tape and what he does on a football field when the bullets are flying, so to speak, right? You know, what he does, like you said, and t-shirt and shorts, you know, it's fun. It's going to be fun to see the type of throws that he's going to make and show off a little bit. But am I, like, freaking out about any of that? Not really. You know, it's a lot of noise, quite frankly. You know, if he decides to do athletic testing, which I don't know why he would, like, why do anything to potentially jeopardize, you know, you being the number one pick at this point, like, makes no sense. So I don't even know if we're gonna get that. Like you said, it really is just a get to know, you know, getting to know you type of thing for the Bears right now, right? Because they've officially committed to this course where they're gonna be drafting a quarterback officially. I mean, we've been assuming it for a while, but officially, by trading Justin Fields, you're saying that we're drafting a quarterback. You know, you're our top choice. You know, we're going to come here and we're going to get to know you a little bit more, right? Because getting to know you for like 15, 20 minutes of the combine, you know, it's nice, but it's not enough to really get a full gauge of who you are as a person. That's what Ryan Poles kind of emphasized throughout this entire process, is that, you know, they believe in their ability to evaluate these players on the field, but it's tougher to evaluate who they are as people, right? And you got to really extensively, you know, sit down with them and, you know, meet with them and scout them, what they do off the field, what their off-field habits are like, what are they like interacting with teammates. So I'm kind of excited to see, if anything, if we can, just like the type of energy he has in the field, how he's interacting with guys, how he's interacting with the coaches. And if we end up doing seeing clips of him with Bears brass, like how do those interactions go, right? Because that's a big part of this as well. Like, is Caleb Williams is someone that this coaching staff and front office can get along with and really see eye to eye with? Because we know that Caleb Williams, while I've heard nothing but good things about him as a person, we do know that he's kind of, you know, a different cat, so to speak. You know, he's got his things that he likes to do off the field in terms of, you know, the sponsorships and, you know, enjoying the lifestyle that comes with being a, you know, superstar quarterback. You know, and having huge NIL sponsorships and all that stuff. We know that he, you know, does enjoy that element of, you know, the position, but he is a guy who's focused on, you know, on his craft as well on the football field. So I'm excited to kind of see that aspect of him and just to kind of for us to get to know him a little bit more too, because we don't really know a lot about Caleb Williams from what we've seen so far. We can only learn so much from, you know, what you hear in third person or what you see in interviews or YouTube videos or TikTok videos of him. So it's this entire, even like the interview we had at the combine, right? Only so much you can gather from that. And I'm sure there's only so much the Bears have gathered based off of those interactions, right? So that's really what this is all about, I think. But in my mind, unless something like catastrophic happens, like an injury or Caleb Williams really just rubs them the wrong way in some way, or just outright declares he's not going to be playing in Chicago, which I don't think is going to happen. I think just looking at his social media feed, he's liking a lot of Bears stuff out there. I think he knows that the Bears are likely where he's going. You know, I think Caleb Williams, I think it's locked in that he's going to be a Bear when it's all said and done. And we broke it down on our quarterback episode last week, but it's so exciting because I do think Caleb Williams, he has the upside to kind of be different for this Bears franchise. And I know a lot of Bears fans are scarred off of, you know, previous quarterback mistakes, and especially seeing how the Justin Fields experience went and how the Bears kind of messed up his development in a way. But really, I can't think of a better situation for a rookie quarterback, especially at number one overall, to go into here. And for all those reasons, I think I got to emphasize again, Bears fans should be ecstatic that he's going to be the pick and that he's going into this team now with the trajectory that it's on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
They definitely should be excited, but also the football aspect of this is the clock officially starts now for Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, because you effectively look at the quote unquote pass, I should say, that they've been given over the last two seasons. They got hired here in January 2022, basically like 2 to 3 weeks apart. And it was pretty much, hey, you know, we believe that we're going to try and make it work with Justin Fields. Didn't necessarily work out there. And now they finally have all the leverage in their pocket, along with back-to-back number one overall picks, to go ahead and basically get their own guy into the building. Well, now you have a quarterback who's tied at the hip with a GM and is also tied at the hip with the head coach. And so this is effectively where Ryan Poles' clock really starts. And same for Matt Eberflus, by the way. I mean, it's interesting because Monday night I ran a Twitter poll and I was like, hey, listen, you know, with the Bears basically set to take a quarterback at number one overall, what do we think should happen with Matt Eberflus's job security? And the results were quite interesting from Bears fans, got about 1,700 votes, but 33% said, well, he needs to be on the hot seat going into year one of the Caleb Williams rookie deal, which is 2024. 48% said, hey, we'll ride with Matt Eberflus through 2025. So give him 2 more years to kind of be the head coach. And then 12% said, well, go with Matt Eberflus through 2026. And only 7% were like, Matt Eberflus through 2027. But anyways, the reason I bring that up is simply because the Bears have kind of been here multiple times before, especially with Trubisky and Fields, where they've just had this bad habit. And again, it's linking the GM to a quarterback that the GM didn't acquire and that the head coach had no say in, or vice versa, some combination of a dumpster fire that usually gets us back to where we are every about 4 to 5 years later. But ultimately the point is this, is, you know, Ryan Poles, every move that he's made this offseason, he's basically sending ownership a message in terms of, I'm ready for my clock to start, and I fully believe that the infrastructure that I've assembled is going to allow the next quarterback to be fully successful. So as excited as people are about, well, we're going to get Caleb Williams and he's going to come here and change the trajectory of a franchise, it also extensively now is the point where the clocks speed up for Eberflus and Poles. And for Ryan Poles, this may be an incredibly harsh criticism of him, but he's had his way for the last 2 years, and now we're finally going to get to see the results of the last two off seasons begin to materialize, which is going to give us a read into just how good of a GM Poles really is.
Yeah, I mean, this is his roster. This is Matt Eberflus's culture. It's his team. It's both of their vision for their team now come to fruition. You're right. I mean, this is where, you know, the rebuild's over right now. Now we're building, right? And now we're, you know, not, you know, can't have those low expectations anymore where, you know, just 6 or 7 wins a season, you know, is good enough. Like, we need to see some significant progress. How do you balance that with a rookie quarterback and his development? That's an interesting conversation to have, right? And that's something we can get into over the course of the offseason. I don't want to belabor the point right now, but you do have to start asking those questions. This is the path that they chose when they decided to stick with Matt Eberflus after the season and not line up Caleb Williams or whoever quarterback they pick with an offensive-minded head coach, right? They bring in Shane Waldron, presumably to kind of help with Caleb Williams' development and to kind of help him along in this process. Who knows how long he's going to be here for, but like you said, you know, is how are they going to approach this? Is this going to be a, you know, prove it year for everybody in the organization? Because like you said, like I think the worst thing the Bears can do is if they want to prove how dysfunctional of an organization they are, they would treat it like they did the last year of Nagy and Pace, or you know, this past year with Justin, maybe, or whatever, where, you know, or last year, you know, for Mr. Trubisky, his rookie year with John Fox, where, you know, that year is kind of seen as a prove it year, but you're still developing a young quarterback where you're probably not going to get the results you want from win loss standpoint, because playing quarterback in the NFL, spoiler alert, is really hard to do. CJ Stroud rookie years don't come along very often. I mean, they, you know, you have to have some high expectations for your guy, obviously, right? But, yeah, I mean, look, a rookie quarterback, you don't necessarily expect them to come out guns blazing right away and, you know, throwing for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. Like, it's going to take some time before Caleb Williams is that level of guy. He's going to have some growing pains in his rookie year, and that might have, you know, some bad results in terms of wins and losses for you initially. I will say, though, the Bears – if I were them approaching this, you know, because you have committed to Matt Eberflus, give him this year as kind of like whatever happens, unless it's a complete disaster, your job is safe. Continue to, we believe in your culture. We believe in your defense and the way that's developing. You know, you have a new offensive coordinator. Got to give him time to kind of work with the young quarterback and see, you know, how that goes. You know, take your time with this, you know, and then in year four, you know, then you can go into more significant conversations about playoff or bust. But I think ultimately, like, if you're the Bears right here, everything you do now is about doing what's best for Caleb Williams, right? And I think the best for him thing for him is stability. You got him some weapons, you got him an offensive line, and also, like, you got him a defense that is going to give him short fields by getting turnovers. They're not going to put a ton of pressure on him to have to score, you know, 40 points a game like he did at USC just for his team to have a chance to win, right? So you really are putting him in a spot to succeed here, I think. So as much as Bears fans are going to worry about the worst case scenarios, honestly, I think the Bears are probably thinking of best case scenarios here as well. I'm going to try to think of best case scenarios with all this. I think, like we said before, this is a really exciting development for the Bears. I think everything's kind of been building to this ever since Ryan Poles has taken the job and kind of his approach to things. But like you said, we're going to have to see how it all plays out on the football field. Unfortunately for us, we have a ton of time until we can see that come to fruition here. But we will have a lot of draft stuff to be talking about over the course of that time as well. And with that, I think that's a good time to wrap it up for us here today. just a preview of what's coming up ahead for us. You say it's going to be on vacation next week. We might try to sneak in another episode in here this week, breaking down the wide receivers for this upcoming draft. That's going to be a really exciting episode when we do eventually get to that. But next week, I'm planning on getting some mock draft stuff up for you guys. First, a Chicago Bears mock draft and a first-round mock draft for just all 32 NFL teams. Take a look for that here on the podcast, but also on our YouTube channel, The Bear Report, as well. Make sure to like and subscribe if you like all the content we do here at The Bear Report. Make sure to follow us on social media as well, at Picks for Polls for our Twitter account, and then at Bear Report for The Bear Report. You say, where can our listeners find you on social media and find your work?
Yes, you can follow me on social media at Usaid Koshal. Check out my work on the Bear Report website. I'm trying to get out at least one scouting report daily. And then make sure you've got notifications turned on for the Bear Report YouTube channel. I mean, we're posting a lot of different things there this offseason, more than we have in years past. A lot of different things like reaction videos, quick 3 to 4 minute videos, grading, signings. So a whole bunch of, different stuff, interviews that we've done here with previous or with NFL draft prospects. You know, there's a couple on there. Like, we got some BYU guys, a Boise State prospect on there, a lot of really good ones. So check those out.
Yeah, absolutely. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at AJFreeman25. You can find my work on the Bear Report as well with some of the draft content coming out. Obviously, like I said, check out the Bear Report on YouTube. And until next time, Bears fans, we'll see if we have any more crazy developments to talk about. I do think the Bears are probably done with some of the big moves until the draft, but it's coming down, not to the wire here, but it's going to be quickly starting to accelerate with the draft stuff here coming up. So it's a lot of exciting things going on here for the podcast. But until next time, Bears fans, have yourself a good rest of your week and bear down.